I mean, how can you put into words just the thin line between if they make that kick, season's over, comes to a screeching halt, and missing that kick and the winner going on?
You know how it is. If my aunt had male parts, she'd be my uncle.
One of the greatest Tomlin lines of all time, Bob. Was it not?
Yeah. It's right up there with, if all you got is red paint, then you paint your barn red.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he had that smirk on his face, and I knew he was thinking of something to say about that situation.
That was great. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen here with Father Mac's limits. Have the Steelers become involved in this? That would be bad
There's
news.
There's a possibility.
For us. Yeah, that would be bad news for everyone
involved. I'm starting to get a little bit concerned, but
they probably have to clear it with them.
No,
probably.
They don't have to clear with anybody, maybe. Bob. They can do whatever they want.
They respect that relationship. They're not going to do it unless they probably call and say, hey.
Well, then we're not getting him.
Maybe not.
All right.
We'll see.
Okay. Bob, you just reposted.
What did I repost?
That Father Max will be on to talk.
No,
that
was a long time ago.
It was four minutes ago.
Bob, this is going to make me look really bad. Like when Aaron Rodgers was calling all those timeouts and they weren't able to run plays successfully.
You know what? I didn't think that wasn't his fault. It was just what are you going to do? You're
going to
take a delay a game or call the wrong play and have it turn into a disaster? I didn't blame Rodgers for that, did you?
As a team, you can't use two timeouts in the span of three plays.
They had equipment that didn't work.
I understand that. But, you know, you still, I mean, I don't know. Honestly, that could have killed them.
And I know.
And it's one of those things that you look back on and you say, how in the world does that happen? But it looked like an equipment failure. They had Arthur Smith running on half the field to meet him to get a play call in. That shouldn't happen either, so I have no idea how that works.
Yeah, because the microphones were busted, and the earbuds and the helmets, whatever they are.
But there was also a part of me down deeper saying, okay, Rodgers is doing this so he can call his own play. You don't want to hear what that play is.
Ah, the conspiracy theory. I like that.
Mm.
Matt Miller says Father Max is the Steelers' sister Jean. You like that, Bob?
How about that? Yeah, it could be. And if that's the case, he's going to have to be at every game, especially if they keep winning.
He has to be there next game. In fact, he needs to be introduced before the game. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, have like all of a sudden an introduction by Larry Richard, and he comes out of the tunnel.
Oh, would that be unbelievable?
Wearing Steeler.
Wouldn't it limit?
Led by the Steeler Pope.
And then the whole team follows him over to pour the water on there?
Playing the Steeler Polka in the background.
Oh, would that be incredible? 412.
Actually, he should do the terrible towel twirl next week. Start him off that way.
That might not be bad. A baptism, so
a baptism,
to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. 412-928-9370. Limits, do you have the whole setup by Mike Tirico to this kick at the end of the game?
I have a shorter setup. I'm going to get the full one for
get
you.
The full one.
That was as good as it gets from a broadcaster.
I was going to ask both of you guys, because both of you are play-by-play people. The appreciation for Tirico on every level, the homework part of it, right. You know, obviously things are happening fast. It's spur of the moment. He really set it up with a story going back to, you know, how the Ravens used to have Justin Tucker in these moments kicking bombs just to beat people. And then the inflection of the voice, the immediate recognition that the kick was no good. Like, I'd be afraid just to, especially after I watched the Boswell kick.
Yeah,
I got to make sure that this thing is what I think it is.
But he also paused at just the right time. He gave all that build up until the snap.
Yes.
And then stopped. And then.
Yes.
It was great.
All
well timed, well researched, well everything.
City Dweller, do we have that? 1 minute, he says, Bob. And I don't blame him. Here's Lamar after the game. I'm looking at a video of him after the game. Part of me does feel bad for him. You?
Yeah, not really. I mean, I thought them as a group, they've had him there for 9 years and they haven't gotten to a Super Bowl yet. You know, it's the same kind of criticism you get here when Ben Roethlisberger's been here for a long time.
Did he take the 44-yard field goal, though? Did he drop the pass to Mark Andrews in the end zone last year?
No,
did he fumble
that
at the goal line against Kansas City in the AFC title game?
But he also has made some turnovers in significant playoff games that have contributed to those situations.
He's had at least three where his teammates blatantly let him down, though. I just think he's a gracious competitor and a phenomenal player.
Oh, he's phenomenal. There's no way, especially he's still injured. I don't care what anyone says. He played last night, but I still think it's not he doesn't have design runs. He doesn't run unless he absolutely has to. And I think that limited them in many ways. So, yeah, I feel bad in a way because he's an outstanding competitor. But at the same time, no, they're out. They deserve to be out. They started 1-5. They had all sorts of problems. They never could dig out from it. They tried. They couldn't.
It doesn't help when your kicker misses from 44. Look at him. He threw his hat down the tunnel. He threw it up to Steeler fans. They were calling for his hat, and he threw it up there, Bob. I like him. Maybe it's just me. What do you got, Limits?
I don't dislike him. He's tremendous at what he does. I just don't, it's part of the game.
Yeah.
All right, Joe. Here it is.
And Harbaugh is telling Likely how special that play was to set up this moment for the rookie out of Arizona. The Ravens, of course, had Justin Tucker for so long. The most accurate kicker in the history of the league. Rodgers can't believe what he has just witnessed. It might be the end for him. But they went around the country and spoke to a lot of the kickers who were coming out. And they decided Tyler Loop was made of the right stuff for moments like this. He now has a chance to win the division for the Ravens. The final play of the regular season for the final spot in the playoffs. Tyler Loop from 44. Snap good. Holden. The kick is no good. It is wide right. And the Steelers.
Oh, my God.
Are the champions of the North.
That is incredible.
He crammed into that 30 seconds or whatever it was everything that you needed to do to set up. Who's kicking, why he's kicking, what's on the line, everything. And he did it as Mike Tirico can do it.
What about the crowd there? Limits, I want to hear that whole thing over again. Bob, where were you when this was happening? You were watching with Malzi?
We were just about to go on, with everything we did last night. So I wasn't sure if we were going to even see it live because we had to run down to the studio, but we did.
Limits, you were in the stadium. Describe the scene that you were in at the time.
Well, right after Likely caught the football, people started leaving.
Oh, my God.
There was that. Well, I mean, come on. Kickers in the NFL now are pretty much just automatic inside of 50 yards. So at
least me.
I know,
but the other guy had just missed an extra point, but go ahead.
Right. And you could hear a pin drop as Loop lined up for the kick. And when the ball was in the air, until I saw the crowd behind the uprights just start going ballistic, I didn't know that he missed it. So where my seats were in 105, parallel with the end zone, with the opened end of the stadium. So I could see it tailing, but could never see what actually happened until the crowd popped.
And Harbaugh is telling Likely how special that play was to set up this moment for the rookie out of Arizona. The Ravens, of course, had Justin Tucker for so long. The most accurate kicker in the history of the league. Rodgers can't believe what he has just witnessed. It might be the end for him. But they went around the country and spoke to a lot of the kickers who were coming out. And they decided Tyler Loop was made of the right stuff for moments like this. He now has a chance to win the division for the Ravens. The final play of the regular season for the final spot in the playoffs. Tyler Loop from 44. Snap good. Holden. The kick is no good. It is wide right. And the Steelers are the champions of the North.
Wow, that crowd is amazing. Limits, were you going crazy then?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was hugging random people and high fives everywhere, and I was just saying, oh, my word, we will see you Monday night. I felt like I was Joe Buck after David Freese at that home run, or after David Ortiz at the we will see you tomorrow night, the home run.
Yes.
Against the Yankees.
Bob, yeah,
I like that call, too.
The great call.
Yeah, it was a great call.
I just saw the replay from behind the Ravens bench. I don't know who it was, a Steeler fan somewhere put out a video from behind the Ravens bench of that kick. Wow.
Just a reaction from them?
Yes. People will always remember. They certainly will. The Ravens certainly will remember.
But how about just the 4th-and-7 play prior to that? I thought, well, first of all, there's no way that's going to happen down the field like that. I thought they'd be looking shorter just to try to keep the thing going.
Yeah.
He went right down the field, and what a catch by Likely. And I thought Ramsey was trying to make a play on the ball and just missed it.
I did not
see that play happening the way it did, and then I thought, okay.
After what I thought was kind of a questionable call on Ronnie Stanley, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I thought those were big 5 yards.
A big know? 5 yards.
And it changed everything about what they probably did. It ended up making them go down the field where maybe before they wouldn't have done that.
You Does know? 2 yards make a difference, Bob? Because maybe I'm nuts, but I thought at least it captured my attention when on the last snap before the field goal, Jackson took the ball and went back 2 yards and knelt. I know that didn't make any difference on the kick.
I thought the same thing, Joe, exactly. I said, why are you – if anything, I would have tried to get a few more yards before took
why,
a timeout.
Why give two – like that could have made a difference
Absolutely,
on a kick.
Absolutely, if it clangs off the post.
Right.
I thought the same exact thing. That looked like a really suspicious play to me in terms of why you're doing it.
I'm not crazy. No. I just think he was like, I'm not going to let anybody bat this ball out. But it seemed like he moved back too far to kneel. He changed it from a 42 to a 44-yard field goal. I know it's not that big a deal, but I'm glad that you noticed it too.
Oh, I did. I thought the same thing. I said, hey, you're making it harder on the kid.
Did you notice that? Where did Limits go, Bob?
He's on the phone.
My God. We could have news here any moment. So now what with Mike Tomlin? Does this, and I was watching the showdown last night. It was you and the PM guys, Mulsey and Pony. And Pony flatly said if there was any doubt about Tomlin, it's erased now with this win, correct? Do you believe that?
Yeah, he said that. Well, first of all, I thought, and I have all along, that if anything happens, it's going to be Mike's call first. But I also think that they won a division. So if there was a chance that they would do this, I think that chance went away. And I think now they have to just win, because if they lose a playoff game, especially if it's if not close, like it's not been in the past several appearances, six, I believe, back to 2018.
Right.
You can't have that. If it's a game that comes down to like we saw yesterday, okay, so be it. You can go back and look at all the plays. I think Mike Tomlin will leave when Mike Tomlin wants to leave. I've felt that all along.
So you've felt like that would be the case even if that kick goes through?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I still just think that's how it's going to go. But you can argue against that and say, well, it's time. And there's certainly a lot of evidence to say that, but they believe what they believe. Although, like I said, the pressure will reappear if they lose a game in convincing passion.
Yeah, I mean, amidst the giddiness, ours and everyone's today, this season, to me anyway, really still is about at least coming close to winning a playoff game.
But you know what?
Probably winning one.
The one thing I've noticed about how those players respond to him in the way that he is on the field, instructing them, trying to infuse as much confidence as he can. He believes in guys that he puts out there. He does. Now, he obviously makes some decisions that, Roman Wilson's always one of those I wonder about. Why is he not believe in a guy they draft in the third round? But the ones who were there will swear by him. And I think that's the one trait that they like about Mike Tomlin more than any other trait.
Hey, man, every time it's been teetering, and I felt like this year more than any other, coming off last year's game in Baltimore, the playoff game, that things felt more tenuous than they've ever felt in the Mike Tomlin tenure. Mm-hmm. I felt that way going into the Indy game. I felt that way going into the road game at Baltimore. And I felt that way going into this game. And to their credit, to his credit, they came through.
They won all three.
They won all three.
Yeah, so now they have to win one in the playoffs at least. And I still think they have, with Rodgers capable of still doing what he does with his mind and his arm. Those are two things that have not shown the 42 years of wear and tear. Those things are still operating at a very high level. So as long as he's protected, I think he can do that too. No matter what defense you're talking about, although this is going to be the biggest test he'll face, I think, defensively. If all the teams remain, they're number one defensively, I think, and I think Denver's number two defensively of the AFC teams.
Can't minimize the return of DK Metcalf. Just look at his last game. His last good game anyway, which was Baltimore. He in a large
yards.
Way won them that game.
Yeah, two big plays to start the first quarter and the third quarter. By the way, the Steelers in the third quarter, you got to give them credit, but they've turned this around completely. They have been very stingy. They're not giving up, and part of this is because they possess the ball more than they have, but also their defense has really shut the door after halftime on all the teams they've recently played, and that includes Detroit.
And their offense, except for Cleveland, has come out right away in the second half and done good things.
Well, that's it. And you possess the ball, you make it a lot easier for your defense. They call it complementary football, and that's exactly what it is.
412-928-9370. Limits. Let's go back to the lines, shall we?
Let's go to a man that calls himself Weird Beard to chime in.
What's up, Weird Beard?
Morning, Joe. Good morning, Pomp. Good morning, Limits.
How are you?
Glorious day. I'll tell you, Joe, when you said a couple weeks ago, that the Steelers were Super Bowl bound. I thought, like everybody else, you were crazy. I have no
respect. Well, I have to admit,
I
went back on that after the Cleveland game, but go ahead.
I'll tell you what, not coming in with a late season collapse in December makes all the difference with the way this team is perceived. But listen, before we give the Steelers any more accolades, absolutely got to congratulate Myles Garrett on his sack record. And his
I don't
future.
Know, do we? It looked to me like Joe Burrow took a little bit of a dive.
Brett Favre.
We have to congratulate him, and we have to congratulate Joe Burrow for getting into the Hall of Fame, Miles for all of his defensive accomplishments, and even if Joe doesn't get himself a bust, he's going to be forever immortalized with that number 9 Burrow underneath Myles Garrett in the Myles Garrett section of the Hall of Fame. And I'll tell you, I'm starting to understand why the Steelers did what they did, why Rodgers was as careful as he was. Because I think if that offensive line let that sack happen to Rodgers, Rodgers checks out of the season, and yesterday does not happen like it is. And we're all crying about the offseason today. I believe today. God bless you. God bless Father Max. God bless our Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, my goodness. That went every which way, that call.
I was going to jump in, but I'm glad I thought better of it.
Just let Weird Beard go. Just let him do his thing.
Bob, Weird Beard, wow. First of all, Joe Burrow took a dive, in my
opinion. There's no question.
Do you agree with that?
He could have absolutely tried to move away from that, and he knew he was there, and he just sort of just went into the fetal position, which is, I'm sorry. It's.
He said, I saw where Kyle Brandt of NFL Network, who I really respect, as a very astute observer, he did an interview with Burrow where Burrow talked about how much he loves Garrett and intimated that Garrett takes it easy on him when he has a chance to bury him. I think he repaid the favor in this game. Do you?
As soon as I saw it, I said, oh, come on, Joe Burrow. You're tougher than that. You know, you just go down when you feel a guy
he went down
closing in.
Yes, he went down before he even got there.
And, by the way, this is taking nothing away from Myles Garrett, who is a hell of a player. I'm not at all suggesting that. But I hate
yes,
when
it is,
those
Bob. It's taking away his record sack.
Well, I'm just, you know, he's still a hell of a player. Yeah, but that sack was, it's somewhat, it reminded me so much of Favre.
I know. So. Kyle Brandt tweets yesterday, quote, I love Miles. That's what Burrow told him. Then he tweets out the interview, said, and this is Brandt, Burrow hitting the turf in front of Garrett was at least a little unusual, .. I agree. I agree with that, 100%.
Very unusual. He's a guy who I've seen run, and, you know, he can get out of pressure. He can do it. His legs weren't his problem. And for some reason, at that point of the game, he went down. I did not like that play.
There was still 5.5 left in the game, but still, clock dwindling down,
clock
not much time left.
Down
I think
huge.
That had a, that had a
huge.
Record. Yeah, there's no question he was aware of that.
Now, they're still trying to win the game, so it's... If we believe that, it's a pretty big indictment on Burrow, is it not?
Yes. I mean, I've seen him get out of
things. Of course, they're probably better
that.
Off losing that game for draft pick status, but whatever.
Yeah. That's a very weird situation.
You know, Myles Garrett had 23 sacks in 17 games, and Bob T.J. Watt had 22.5 sacks in 15 games.
Yeah, but Garrett had by far more sacks per snap in the season, so he actually did it in less action.
I saw conflicting stuff on that.
Why don't you go find that limit?
I will.
By the way, I know you don't like Jacksonville, but they do have this kicker who is...
I never said I didn't like him.
Well, you picked Buffalo to beat him.
Yeah, that doesn't mean I don't like him.
Well,
anybody
you didn't like him, and you picked against them, which means you didn't like him in this game coming
I didn't
up.
Like him in the game.
Okay,
yeah.
So but they have this kicker who, I'm telling you, the guy never misses, although I say
that's
that.
That's the guy that kicked the 70-yarder.
Yes,
you called
in,
that
in,
game.
In our, like, I couldn't believe they were even doing it. But yesterday, did you see how far past the goalpost he went? He's 67 yards, and he hit it with at least 10 yards to spare.
Oh, great. He's going to beat the Bills with an 85-yard field goal.
It won't go wide right either, if anything.
I can already see this. When I try to invent mind-bending, heart-rending, soul-crushing losses for the Bills. Like what form will it come in? This dude's going to kick an 83-yard field goal to beat them at the buzzer. I can feel it. What's his name again?
Cam Little. I mean,
didn't you say Little went big?
Yeah.
Wasn't that your call, Bob?
Yes, but if it had been a regular season game, it would have been the first 70-yard field goal made. He still kicked it, you know, and it was in a heavy air of Jacksonville, Florida, so – Man, it was impressive. His leg, man.
He's got one hell of a leg,
It hit
Bob.
The netting behind the goalpost as it went through at 67 yards. It didn't barely get over. I mean, he could have been good from 77. Can you imagine an 80-yard field goal to win the game?
I mean,
and Buffalo
yes.
loses as a result after yes. Scott Norwood for all those years.
Some teams just have that about them. I'll tell you what, the Ravens have that about them these days. The way that they lose playoff games.
Oh, man.
Wow. I can't stop watching the highlights of this game, Bob.
So you said because Lamar Jackson kind of takes the brunt of this and they haven't won, but there have been – it's not his fault. The kicker miss is not his fault, Mark. Andrews dropped what was right in his breadbasket. Does that have the same effect of John Harbaugh? Because he didn't do those things either. They were in position to win games. His players failed.
No, but there's now a long pattern with his teams just losing leads late in games. Like, it's historic.
Absolutely. But a lot of that has to do with players either fumbling, intercepting, or missing kicks.
Yeah, it does. You're right. But, I mean, coaches, in the end, when you have a long pattern of this, have to be able to put away games.
I agree. But, it takes two to tango, too, here. The players, we never talk enough about player responsibilities, always focused on the coaches. I get it. But players do have roles in these things. And, you put them in position to make plays, and they don't make plays. I thought it was kind of cool that Harbaugh took that kicker under, walked him into the locker. He clearly was emotionally just spent after that. But, man, that's the nature of sports, isn't it?
Yeah. Next-gen stats, Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson combined for 3 deep touchdown passes. That's over 20 yards in the fourth quarter, the most in any fourth quarter in the last decade.
And who would have thought
that? It was a legendary game.
Who would have thought that the way that game was going?
What a game, Bob!
It was unbelievable. And I think the ratings are going to reflect that. I'm anxious to see what they are because what else was on, no matter where you were in this country?
How about little Calvin Austin? How about that little move, the stop and go?
Stop
and
go.
And gets a touchdown.
But yeah, I mean, he just left the guy in the dust. He also tripped over there, so it was wide open. But Rodgers laid that right where he had to. Beautiful throw.
I'm going home to watch this game after the show. That's how great it was. I can't stop. I'm not even paying attention to you, for which I apologize, because I'm watching all the fourth quarter highlights.
Yeah, some big, big plays. I mean, again, third down conversions, Joe. You're going to go back and look at all these drives that they had, and you're going to say they were set up by a third and long completion. The Hayward touchdown on the push, third and 10 to Freiermuth for 15 right before that. There was a 20-yarder to Thielen in that same drive on third down. Then you had a third and 10 for Baltimore that results in an interception by T.J. Watt, so they didn't convert on that. After that, you go down and you see Roger third and 8, Freiermuth 30 yards. That was before the Gainwell touchdown. That's third and 8 at the time, right? And at that point, they're trailing. They need to get the first down and more, and they did. They got a third and 8 conversion. Gainwell scores. And then, after Flowers goes into the end zone, they get it back, and Rodgers, third down conversion, led to Austin, 26-yard touchdown. 9 of 16 on third down. That's pretty good, especially in a high-level game like that.
What, Bob? I can't get enough of this. I'm
Bob,
serious.
I found the number that T.J. Watt only needed 814 snaps total in 2021 to break the record. Miles Garrett this season had 868 snaps.
No.
That's
no,
what
no,
I'm looking
no,
at.
No. Yeah.
I'm back here and look
from
at it.
Who? From who?
From footballguys.com and also Pro Football Reference.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was pass rush snaps.
Maybe, because what I saw was a Brown site that put out a number, like a fan site, that was mildly incorrect.
Mildly incorrect. It was
blatantly incorrect.
If you're saying
that
was incorrect.
Thank you.
Thank you, Limits. All right, we'll get verification on that. Miles Garrett set the NFL single-season sack record, achieving this in approximately 437 pass rush snaps, significantly fewer than T.J. Watt, 618. That's what I was looking at. Pass rush snaps. Okay?
Yeah, I don't see pass rush snaps.
I do. I just read it to you.
Did you go with the AI overview?
Yes,
pulled
I
up
did.
Well, that's what might be wrong. Because Ooh. That takes me to some Facebook account that says, The Dogs, a Cleveland Browns podcast. It says, don't let Steelers fans fool you. And I don't know if I trust a place that's
the
called
dogs.
The Dogs that says, don't let Steelers fans fool you. And
All
where
right,
they're pulling
then find
these numbers
out.
From.
Then find out. Go to the pass rush.
Because they also say on Michael Strahan, snap count could not be listed. How do they not know what the snap count was
maybe
for
Michael Strahan?
They didn't
keep it back then. They didn't keep pass rush.
They never used to keep sacks.
It's not total snap count. It's
pass
rush.
In 2001? We're not talking about like 1984 here.
Limits, 2001, the internet was barely invented. You weren't even alive.
I was.
How old were you?
I was months old. I was born in 2001.
Bob, do you remember when I gave Limits the Kenny Pickett toddler jersey for Christmas?
Yeah.
And I wore it yesterday to the game.
It was too big. All right.
This kind of response is coming. Man on Twitter said, E from Jersey. After a tweet that I put out about what an unbelievable game, the same thing we've been talking about. He goes, false, ugly game. I've never seen two teams trying to lose a game so hard. Both were awful at crunch time. If that's your takeaway of that game, then God bless you.
How do you differentiate in all great games that have ever been played then?
Because
it's two teams giving up bunches of points in the fourth quarter.
Exchanging punches, counterpunching, punching again, counterpunching. That's drama.
Don't get me wrong.
That's not ugly. The first half may have been ugly. The second half was anything but ugly.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful game, exciting to the end. And even if Baltimore had won the game, I would have felt the same about the game. I didn't like the outcome, but I would have said it was a highly entertaining game.
Yeah. I hear you.
I don't know. Some people just, I don't know what is a perfect game then?
Well, I don't think it was two great teams playing necessarily, but it was absolutely a great game. I think that's irrefutable, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what would define a great game greater than that ending. That fourth quarter
was one of the best fourth quarters I've ever seen.
As you just cited, no two teams have combined for that many big plays in the fourth quarter of a playoff game.
All right, I feel like we owe our listeners an explanation here, an update on the Father Max mystery, Limits.
Still waiting, right?
Father Max from St. Vincent blessed the end zone in which Tyler blooped at the end.
How many other scores were in that end zone, by the way? I'm trying to think of...
A couple of Ravens scores were definitely there.
Yeah.
Right? And the Steelers got stopped there, so it looked like it might be cursed for a while.
I don't know.
You got contacted by somebody at St. Vincent saying, yeah, we're listening. This is great. Let's make this happen. And
correct.
Then things have gone radio silent, haven't they?
Things have gone silent, and my concern level is rising by the moment, Bob.
Well,
maybe this isn't going to happen.
Do you think Father Max was calling a mass, Bob, or what's happening?
I don't know.
Calling a mass?
Confessional booths. I don't know what who knows what's on their agenda. But
right.
Or maybe whoever called you, Austin, was double-checking with whoever's above him.
Possibly.
I don't know. He'll come on, I bet, at some point.
Yeah, and I think you're the guy to make it happen, Bob.
I agree.
Because you have connections everywhere. Steelers, St. Vincent. My God, you had Father Paul on speed dial.
By the way, the former archbishop there, Doug Nowicki, was a great man. And he passed away, was just awesome to deal with. They have a special relationship with the Steelers. That's where that training camp has been. I still like it that way. I think a lot of teams have gone away from that. I think it's a great thing.
So do I. It absolutely is, and that was a great thing last night. And hopefully that'll work out for us in the end, Limits.
I hope so.
That would be a fun interview. In the meantime, Bob, your favorite segment is at hand here, and the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Okay, let's start with this decision, Bob. Mike Tomlin going for it at the end of the first half, knowing it's the last play of the half. He's down 10-3 at the time. I loved it. I loved the decision. I loved his mindset going into this game, and I said it before and after the play. Didn't love necessarily the play call. Didn't hate it as much as everybody else. I think it was designed for Gainwell to beat one guy. The guy made a great play. What did you think of the decision? Not the play call, the decision.
I would have taken a 3. I said that at the time when we were up there watching this game. I just thought the way the game had played out to that point, it was going to be a tough, low-scoring, typical Steeler game with Baltimore, so those 3 points could have been significant. And at the end, that whole drama may never have occurred had they got the 3 points there, because then it would have been a 5-point game or whatever the case may be. So that's fine. You can go for it. I think, as I told you earlier, Joe, if the PI wasn't called before that and put the ball at the 1-yard line, they may have kicked the field goal because it would have been a lot more distance to cover.
Certainly would have, yes.
So it actually worked for the Ravens because they put the Steelers in a position where they wanted to gamble with that call and they didn't get it. So I understand why they did it. It's a 50-50 call. I would have taken the points.
Fair enough. Okay. How about the first time that Tomlin went for it with the brotherly shove in his own territory after the Ravens got a fourth down on their touch? Well, they scored a touchdown on fourth down. What did you think of that call by Tomlin? I like that.
I like that too. I like that one because I thought that play has been highly successful for them. And Cam Hayward's pushing his brother. I just thought it was a good play by Baltimore not to relinquish the yards.
Well, it looks like Cam kind of mistimed that first one. He certainly came through on the second one and pushed his brother into the end zone. The first one, it looked like he tackled him from behind and pushed him into the ground practically.
It's a lot of weight falling on your brother.
What about the decision to use Cam in that capacity? I'm all for it.
I am too. I mean, if, you know, Darnell Washington's not available for them and they need somebody big in there, I would also consider Y.A. Black a candidate for that role if they ever wanted to put someone else there, because he's a big dude who's got the thickest legs I think I've seen since Eric Green. So I have no problem with that call. It didn't work.
Okay. How about the – which call am I thinking of here? The call on Ronnie Stanley on the Ravens' final drive when he was called for not being lined up properly. Seemed a little cheap to me, Bob, and they mentioned it on the broadcast that you wouldn't always see that.
I agree. I thought that was kind of a generous call for the Steelers at that point, and it forced Baltimore into actually throwing down the field, which worked to their advantage. I don't know they would have done that on fourth and short. They may have a different play call.
Not long after the winning kick, the internet and social media lit up with Skowronek seemingly using leverage, using Ravens players as he leapt over the line. And of course, everybody thinks of that now because the Ravens got called for that in Baltimore erroneously, the NFL later admitted,
right,
and lost that game partially on account of that. Should this have been called on Skowronek in this instance,
no,
Bob?
I just, at this level of a game where so much on the line, I don't want the officials, unless it's blatant, and I don't think that was blatant, I don't want to see a call like that. Do you?
Wonder Twin? No. At first, I thought, you know what? Because it got called, but then I hated the call in Baltimore. Yeah, so why would I like this one?
Unless so egregiously and infects.
Now, if he catapults him off two guys and blocks the kick, we have a different story. Right. But no, you don't call that.
No. I thought that the thing that they called a penalty on the 41-yard Henry run, first play, they called
the
terrible call there. There was no reason to make that call.
And then from the Steelers' side, I thought there were a couple of interferences that happened that weren't called. Would you agree?
Yes.
To their receivers?
Yes.
Now I'm trying to think of which one in particular. Was it the one on Freiermuth was called.
That had to be called. He was all over him in the back of the end zone.
There was one on Thielen or Miller. I get confused between
Thielen.
That should have
Thielen
been called.
Thielen came up and he was pretty animated that it should have been called.
Yes.
But again, that's one of those things that if you want to, you can call it on every single play. There's a lot of contact. You got to give the defensive guy some leeway, generally speaking.
I agree with that. How about the decision really defensively to stop the run at all costs, especially in those fourth down situations that led to touchdowns? Do you blame the Steelers for their strategy there?
No,
Bob?
Because I think everyone talked about Derrick Henry coming in. He was the guy to stop. And really, that 120 yards he got, that's a little deceiving because it was essentially two big runs. The rest of the day, you know, they never got up to the handoff total that they wanted, I'm sure. They wanted to be more like last week in Green Bay where they were dictating. The Steelers wanted to take that element away. I give them credit for that. Does that explain why they had so many breakdowns in the secondary? No. It shouldn't be that wide open. But, yeah, I agree generally with that whole mindset.
You know what else we'd be talking about right now? If the Ravens had never gotten into field goal position, was that scramble by Lamar on the final series where he either could have run, but he chose to throw to DeAndre Hopkins, who just stood there.
Man.
Was that amazing or what?
If he kept going, I think that would have been a touchdown or at least close to one, right?
Might have been. I mean, he had the whole left side open there. Just incredible stuff happening left and right. There's almost too much to talk about. Limits, any one of those topics? Tickle your fancy?
Well, yeah, I agree with you that all the fourth downs, I was completely good with going for it. I understand kicking the points, Bob, at the end of the half, but when you have it at the 1 yard line, I felt like they should have just went right back to the tush push play. It was a terrible decision to toss it out to Gainwell in that situation, especially with what the look was like at the line.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they were afraid to run that tush-push play again because of how it failed on fourth and one earlier in the half. And that's why they didn't run it at the goal line where they should have.
I fully expected that play also. And, you know, play calls are like they are. We talk, whether they work or not. If they work, they're great. If they don't, they're not. It's just you got to make a choice. And their choice was to go with Gainwell, who I don't have a problem with Gainwell being the man they chose to do it because he has shown the ability down there to score on those sort of situations. But there was no block. There was a blocking mistake there that led to that.
Yeah, and the Skowronek thing, if you're trying to clear the line, you obviously have to put your hands in a position where you get some type of, you know how like when you do a box jump, you move your hands back and then move them forward whenever you jump. I don't feel like he pushed off. And if it was that egregious, then yeah, you potentially call it. But there was not like a huge shove off of the line. He immediately was blocked as soon as he did that too. Immediately pushed back.
Sunny today with a high of 44. Najee Davenport, a low of 22. Big play gay. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Bob, as you and Mulsey and Pony were talking about this last night, what kind of feedback were you guys getting from people? Just pure giddiness?
A lot of that. A lot of people thought it was lucky. You know, I mean, there's always luck involved.
It was, yeah.
If you don't have luck sometimes, you win games based on that. Field goal, yeah, they could have lost that game in a whole different talking point.
Should the Ravens have tried to get a little closer on one last play?
I thought so. They had a timeout. They could have done that just to make it a little easier. It is a rookie kicker after all, and you can say what you want about how perfect he was, which he was all season in that distance. There's a whole different game involved when you have this on the line your entire season, and I think it showed in his – you know how it is in golf, Joe. I keep going back. Everything comes down to one shot, and it's you out there by yourself, and you have to execute it.
I think we can all relate, everybody listening, certainly us, on any level, whether it's free throws in a basketball game, you know, compared to in practice or even in a meaningless game, when the pressure ratchets up, everything becomes different. Anybody who golfs out there. It's different just from the range to trying to hit a normal shot when you're playing for keeps and you only get one chance at it, let alone now take that and put millions of people watching on television and everything else. It changes everything. Pressure changes everything, doesn't it?
Oh, no question. You have that ice in your veins or you can do it and you're not going to be and the great ones do. The great ones know how to, you know, really thrive in those situations. But if you've never been through it, and that kicker has never been through anything like that, never. I don't care how many kicks he's made at Arizona. You're not going to have the entire season come down to your kick. And as much as you want to keep that out of your head, you know it's there. And so you've got to figure out now, this could make or break that guy. You know, he can come back from that. A lot of kickers miss kicks. What does it do for you moving forward? In his situation now, he won't get another chance for almost a year.
He may never get another chance. You know, he was the only guy ever to be in that position. Didn't you say that earlier, right? Limits, with that tweet? What did that tweet say?
Yeah, it was the first time ever. It was, let me make sure I get the number completely right, but it was the first time in like 60,000 kicks, field goals like of all time, where somebody was in that position, game on the line, to win it or go home, and he missed.
For a division title in the
correct
final game of a season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Bob, now we sit in the AFC, where I think there's three Hall of Fame quarterbacks who may never win. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow, who may never win a Super Bowl. Burrow's team stinks, and his franchise stinks. Lamar has now had a bunch of cracks at the can here. And how many more do you get? And the same with Josh. Josh Allen's had the best team before, like multiple times. And now he's got to go on the road where he's never won a playoff game and win three in a row on the road, probably, just to get to the Super Bowl. Wow. I mean, now all of a sudden these guys are no longer, you know, just breaking into the league.
Well, tell me who you think is farthest away with those three guys. Because
Burrow.
Burrow, I would agree. Burrow, because they have a lot of work to do in Cincinnati, and they just came out and announced that Zach Taylor and Director of Player Personnel Duke Tobin are both back next year. Pete Carroll has been fired.
He's just done. Saw that. Yeah.
So, but I think you know, this is Josh Allen's opportunity. And if there is one person I would be willing to bet on who can get it done and will a team to a win, it would be him.
They're just not good enough to win three in a row, let alone four in a row in the Super Bowl.
How do you know unless you see it with this opportunity?
But they're not good enough defensively.
All right, let me play this out. You think that they'll beat Jacksonville?
I do.
I don't.
Well, there you go. Then there'll be one and done.
But I'm just saying.
I'm saying there's a 51%
right,
chance.
It's close. But if so, they'll come to Pittsburgh.
Right.
And you think the Steelers will beat them this time?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do, actually.
But I think in all those situations, he is the best of the remaining quarterbacks in the AFC.
So if you believe
that's the most important position, he can make things happen.
That would also mean that the Chargers would go to New England and win.
Yes.
That's what you're assuming, Joe? Okay.
Yeah. Not necessarily. I still have to make all my picks. I'm just saying that's a plausible scenario.
Right. But like if the Chargers lose,
yeah,
that means the Steelers would have to go to New England.
Yes.
And Buffalo would go to Denver.
Right.
You like that scenario better for the Steelers?
I don't know, Bob. I haven't thought about it enough. What's the scenario now? I'm just picking them to beat Houston.
In Denver or in New England, if you had to make that choice, if it came down to the seedings.
Wow. Probably. I'll take the lesser quarterback every time, and I'm a Bo Nix fan, but I'd rather go to Denver. I'd rather face Bo Nix than Drake May.
Okay.
You?
I would rather go to New England.
Okay.
Because I think their defense is not as good as Denver's. I think the Steelers can do something against it. And as much as Drake May could be the MVP of the league. Bo Nix, when he plays at home, has a tremendous stat line. He's very good, especially in the fourth quarter of games where he needs to make. It's a tough choice.
We're getting ready for a Panthers-Steelers Super Bowl, aren't we, Bob?
Can you imagine? How about the ultimate way of backing in? They lose the head-to-head game.
They're a 10.5-point underdog.
But here's the thing. They beat the Rams earlier this year.
I know.
They beat them head-to-head.
In Carolina.
How much does that matter?
It doesn't. The Rams are going to destroy them.
But it's in Carolina again.
I know.
Do you like the fact that 8 and 9 teams get a home playoff game?
No, I don't think they should get
one.
What
do you think they should do to change it then?
Just go by record. No.
Then you diminish the division.
No. The division winners should have a home playoff game. They should. Except if you have a losing record. Then you got to switch
it. So the 5 team hosts the 4 team.
Yes.
Then.
Yep. Losing record, you don't get it.
Okay.
Do you agree or disagree?
I still like putting emphasis on winning the division. And if so, you get a home playoff game. All division winners do.
How about you, Mr. P?
No, you can't just have that strange caveat of, oh, well, if you're 9-8 compared to 8-9, but you still win your division, it makes that big of a difference on if you host a home playoff game or not. No. You win your division, you host a home playoff game.
Thank you, Limits.
Thank you, Joe.
Coming up, Bob, let's take a little trip around the league, why don't we?
Kevin Stefanski
fired.
There are a lot of firings.
Take a look at the playoff games. It's going to be, I think it's the best sports weekend of the entire year, and that includes the NCAA tournament. I think it's the greatest sports weekend is the wild card round
of
the NFL.
You know, people
playoffs.
Go to Vegas all the time just to sit in those casinos and watch game after game after game after game.
This is incrinculant, Bob.
It is. It's you know, there's some really good times of the year, but this may be one of the better ones.
And we get the college football playoff semifinals.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You could be sitting there all and Monday just watching games all 5 days. Be as unproductive as you could possibly be.
Drew Aller's not in it, Limits.
No. Who was your big quarterback? Jackson Dart. Is he around the playoffs?
Hey, Jackson Dart had a hell of a first season.
He had a hell of a first season.
He really
season.
Did. He started yep. 12 games.
23 combined touchdowns with no weapons.
9 rushing touchdowns. Absolutely. I think there's a lot to like there with that.
Thank you, Bob.